Cajun Mardi Gras Association will be here. So will George Emmanuel. And this program is brought to you by Jean Lafitte National Historical Park and Preserve, the City of Eunice, the St. Landry Parish Tourist Commission, the Best Stop Supermarket of Scott, Louisiana, yeah, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, the John Guillory Allstate Insurance Company of Eunice, Louisiana, and the Cajun French Music Association. Your host this evening, I don't recognize him, but I know who is he supposed to be. Sir, Professor, Monsieur Barry Osley, folklorist and professor of Cajun French. Hey, you got me all mixed up here. So let's give a warm Cajun welcome to the Jambalaya Cajun Band.
Jambalaya Cajun Band avec nous autres ce soir pour célébrer Mardi Gras. Et je ne connais pas quoi c'est qu'arriver avec les joueurs après jouer pour Tony Huval, la balle, il y a Mardi Gras. Taking the place usually occupied by Bobby Dumatre on the guitar over there, another Mardi Gras. But that's Ken David on bass. There's some things you can't hide. He asked y'all to forgive him. He had a little problem with his complexion these days. I think it's allergies. Allergies. Must be allergic to every damn thing. It's bad. Occupying the space usually occupied by Mr. Reggie Mott on the accordion, we have another Mardi Gras. And playing Terry Huval's fiddle tonight, another Mardi Gras. I thought It's probably not very nice to do a show from behind a mask. So I'm going to take mine off. Who said that? Come over here. We got one for you. Continuez la soirée avec quelque chose qui s'appelle les haricots et pas salé. Écoutez la musique, bien s'appelle Jambalaya avec nous autres ce soir. Et ici pour célébrer Samedi Gras, samedi avant Mardi Gras. How many people in the audience are from out of town, out of the area? Do y'all know what y'all about to get into? Are you wearing a seatbelt? Do you have a lot of quarters? Well, you might want to run out to an ATM or something. We'll be celebrating our Mardi Gras show, as we do every year. And the Basile Mardi Gras Association is going to pay us a visit. And that has... It's kind of intense, and So if you have any sort of, you know, if you need defibrillation, just let us know. If you need any sort of CPR, we have 911 on speed dial. I hope you enjoy the show. Bel tit val, sister, pour tous ceux-là qui aimeraient dans un vignette. Oh, ma belle. Ma belle, chanson de Terry. Terry Huvan, original. Ça va faire, ça ressemble à moi, petit tribute à Lawrence Walker, droit à ça. Va commencer avec quelque chose qui s'appelle Lena May.
Pretty little girl, her name was Lena May, the sweetest gal in all the world, sweet as she could be. I asked her for a date one night. This is what she said: if you take me out some night and dance to that rock and roll. Thank you. took her to the dance one night to the swellest place in town.
Hot dog!
When the band began to play, I heard my baby shout. He said, come on, daddy, come dance with me. Forget you've ever been rude. Take my hand, let me swing about and dance to that rock and roll. Dance was over, I walked her back home. She held me tight while we kissed goodnight and said, let's let the good time roll.
Yeah, a little rock and roll. Little Cajun rock and roll from Lawrence Walker. And I chose Uncle Lawrence Walker a fait que Tajimon a fait depuis. And this is a got a chance of sneaking its way into the UL fight song category. Quelque chose qui s'appelle le Bosco Stomp. On va jouer ça pour tout quelqu'un qui a jamais été stomp dans Bosco. Thank you. Tabasco Stomp. Tu quelqu'un qui a jamais été Stomp Tabasco? Déjà été à Bosco, qui? T'as été Stomp? Non, pas été Stomp. Et notre dernière chanson de Lawrence Walker, c'est my daddy's favorite song. My dad was a blessed man who lived a beautiful life and lived to see a bunch of his grandchildren and all of his children happy, died surrounded by him. And arguably one of the luckiest men on the planet, and his favorite song was La Valse du Malchanceux, The Unlucky Man's Waltz. Bal chanceux, Ben Jambalaya. Now I will take my mask off because I don't want any blurring of the lines, because this captain has a whip. You don't want any blurring of the lines. We tell you that we're going to be receiving a visit from the Basile Mardi Gras. Reg, you want to escort him in? I want to clear the aisles. Oh, c'est Mardi Gras! the Brazil Mardi Gras. Vous va danser pour nous autres? OK. And valse. Capitaine, tu vas chanter une petite chanson pour nous autres?
Before we do anything, Barry.
Let me introduce first. This is Captain Patti Ryder. President Ryder. You want to introduce the captains, the ones that don't have masks on? We're not going to talk about the ones who have masks on.
This is Nick Anderson, our captain. Our lady captain. What's your name?
Madame Sostan.
Where's David? David. That's our co-captain over there. Okay, before we go any further, you know, you've been helping us out pretty much, you. Okay. And we want to show you appreciation.
Uh-oh.
It's not much.
Oh, thank you. I thought I was going to get whipped.
But it's a little plaque.
Well, thank you. We can help you out with it. Presented to Barry Onsley for continued support and recognition of the Brazil Mardi Gras Association from President Patti Ryder. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Now, let me ask you, does it come with a check? No.
Yeah. When you come to the house, check on me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. So this is the song that the Mardi Gras sings when they reach a house and they're trying to convince the people in the house to let them in and then to give them something to put in the gumbo that they make later that evening and feed all the Mardi Gras and all the people that they visited and anybody in town who comes.
So after a while, after we sing, these Mardi Gras are going to go and beg y'all for a few nickels, whatever they can get, you know.
I told you about the seat belts and the quarters earlier.
Now, all the money doesn't go to them. Whatever they pick up goes to the Brazil Mardi Gras Association, and that's what helps us pay for everything we do. Y'all ready? Hey, Mr. Vaj.
Get tight in. Tight, 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 tight.
Alors, se mettre ensemble.
Y'all act like y'all like each other.
Capitaine, capitaine, voy a te flaguer un tocon. La route est grande, la nuit est longue et les bêtes sont pas invitées. Tu les m'as dit grâce, ça devient une fois par an de demander de la charité. Une fois par an, c'est pas trop souvent pour vous quand même. Tu les m'as dit grâce, ça devient de loin, ça devient de longue de terre. Tu les m'as dit grâce, c'est tout des bons jeunes gens que ça devient d'une bonne famille. C'est pas des malfacteurs, c'est juste des chutes en bonheur. Tu les m'as dit grâce de demander la maîtresse et la maîtresse pour un cheat pour grâce du Rio de la Grèce. Pour faire l'autre gros gambo ce soir à Grand Basile. Tu m'as promenas chi, tu m'as promenas ça, mais tu m'as donneras pas. Capitaine, capitaine, tes chevaux, ça peut plus chanter parce que l'autre gorge est sec. Un bon petit bière frais, les ferrets, c'était meilleur.
We're going to turn them loose?
Turn them loose!
Now,
they don't know.
Yeah, the Basil Mardi Gras appreciate your generosity. They're not kidding. Well, they are kidding, but they're not kidding.
Hey, I was picking at my captain. This is our lady captain, Cassie.
Cassie LeBlue. All right. So, the people out there in the audience... y'all be generous. People out there listening on the radio must be wondering what in the world's going on. By the way, you recognize this?
Yes, sir, sure do.
Mr. Patsy Ryder is the one who made my mask for me, what I'm wearing tonight.
I'll tell you what, Barry. You don't know how much these Mardi Gras appreciate you and what you've done for us, Bubba.
We really appreciate them, too.
Thank you a million, man. Anytime you welcome in Basil, you know it.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Yunus.
Thank you all so much. Oh, for listening. Good to know, baby. Ben Jambalaya, did you have a good night? Et on va continuer la soirée avec quelque chose. On va essayer de moyen calmer les affaires, Reg. La belle de la campagne.
On
va essayer de calmer les affaires avec la belle de la campagne. Yeah. Des chansons que Terry a écrites les années passées.
La belle de la campagne, elle est la belle de Bayeux. Elle est née d'un cadien, et je voudrais qu'elle soit la mienne. Mais elle va jamais connaître tout le mal qu'elle m'a fait. La petite belle de la campagne va jamais. Commencez à cette jour-là, je voudrais qu'elle d'être ma part. Elle m'a dit qu'elle m'aimait, elle voudrait me marier. Et quand le jour t'est arrivé, la chance. Quand elle va trouver l'amour de ses rêves, mais les nuits m'a passé que je m'arrivais de elle. Elle est la belle de la campagne, elle est la belle de Bayeux, elle est née d'un quartier de Joudriquelle.
Belle de la campagne. Et Captain? Capitaine? Capitaine, don't forget you got some up in the cheap seats. Oh, la couleur d'air.
La tine que ça de liquide au trouvé, noyé, pas mille, voilà le lait de la couleur d'air. Mais la vie est en délire, elle est beaucoup de chagrin, elle est partie sans dîner,
dans la couleur d'air.
Hey, yeah.
La Kool-Aid O'Dare. How about a hand for the jambalaya? And how about a hand for the Bazille Mardi Gras? Is everybody okay? Look to your left. Look to your right. Is your wife still with you? Is your husband still with you? Do you still have your kids? I know you have a lot less money in your pockets than you used to. Wasn't that a fun visit? This is one of the great, great traditional Mardi Gras. From around the area, and there are a bunch of them. There's about two or three dozen different Mardi Gras versions like that in various places, Timamu and Anse-le-Jeune, Elton, Eunice, Mamou, Church Point, Grand Marais, all over the place. And we hope that you get a chance to see some of these wonderful traditional Mardi Gras. There'll be a lot going on here tomorrow with music in the streets and the children's run. Be able to see how kids learn how to do this. And I thought I'd ask Miss George Emanuel, if I can, to come up and just talk to us a little bit. Y'all can stay there. George, you ready? George Emanuel is sort of a local historian and a Mardi Gras specialist from right here in Eunice, and she's been observing the Mardi Gras for a long time and thinking about it and organizing some thoughts about it, and thought might get her to come and explain to you a little bit about what you're seeing and what you're about to see and what you maybe just went through.
Well, we've been here for what, 25 years now? About 20. Here's the next one. All right. Is this a short joke? We've been doing this now, I think, what, 25 years about?
About, yeah.
Yeah. And for 25 years, I come in and explain why we're all dressed like this. So I thought, let's do something different this year. I brought costumes. I wear costumes. This costume on my daughter belonged to my grandmother. This costume belonged to my mother-in-law. And they were some of the ones that ran in the 50s when women were not allowed to run with the men. They ran on Sundays. It was the Maman's Mardi Gras and get out of the way. They ran in a cattle truck, and there was a big tubuff.
Well, might be a fitting place for women. I don't know.
And they had their own musicians. They had their own capitaine. And that night, they had their own dance. And Maman wore this costume to the dance, and next day we had to go pick up the case of beer she won. So
there you go.
Okay. So I want to tell you that it was not always all together like we see today, which is wonderful. The women had to, they were on their own, do your own thing, and well they did. So Mama was a little tiny thing. Mama was rather big and husky. Mama worked right here up the street. She was a seamstress at La Vogue's dress shop for women. Mama came home from work one day. Mama couldn't read and write or speak English, but that didn't matter. Madame Young said, oh, let me go back. Wait, this is in the time when color TV, the advent of color television. She was the most fervent adorer of the Lawrence Welk show because the dresses, and she tried to copy everything she'd see. When it came out in color, she almost collapsed. She was so excited. She came home from work this day, and Ms. Young said she heard that Lawrence Welk was coming to play the Mardi Gras dance at Ferdy Derwan's store. When she told me that, I said, I don't think so, ma'am. Oh, well, oh, yeah, Madame Young said so. They were making their dresses just like on TV, and they were going to the dance. I waited a few days, and I tried to look for information. And Mama's excitement about going to the dance where Lawrence Welk was supposed to be playing, it turned out it was Lawrence Walker. What can I say? But that didn't matter. So I asked both of them for a long time, tell me stories, tell me stories. Mama's favorite stories about the things that she did not see, because when they heard the Mardi Gras coming, first on horseback and then from the bells on their clothes, they'd go hide. I said, okay, as we got older, Mama, what did you see? Well, the men's would go and the ladies had to stay home. And we was making praline. They would sit around a bunch of women cracking pecans and making pralines. Except one day, the voleur de praline passed. I said, what? In the old Acadian houses, there was shutters that would open off the kitchen door, and there was a platform. And that's where they put food to cool. So as soon as the pralines were done, they put them out on that window. And Mama said, I thought it was strange on Mardi Gras. There was a horse so close to the house. But she said, I heard it. Pa-ta-pa-ta-pa-ta-pa. I opened the window, and I looked, and the pralines were gone. It was that Mr. Beardo. It was that Mr. Beale. There was the voleur de praline had passed on Mardi Gras Day, and she never forgot that.
Now, I got to say, every time Georgie comes up with one of these new observations, you know, remembering something very old, it always jogs me because some of our students are from Nova Scotia and New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island, the old Acadian areas up there. And there was a tradition that wasn't associated with Mardi Gras. It was associated with the Chandeleur, or the Mikarem, but it was essentially the same thing, mass procession going from house to house, and they would steal soup and cakes. So there's apparently a connection of stealing something you put to cool outside.
Well, you know, in New Orleans, they holler, throw me something, and John Foltz said, y'all don't do that throw me something thing. I said, no, and I want to know when they throw you those plastic beads, what kind of sauce you make with that?
Yeah.
But we don't throw, we go get. And
let me tell you, technically
they're stealing chickens.
But let me tell you, in the moment, when you see thousands of hands up in the air asking for those beads, they're worth really, you know, intrinsic. They're not have any worth. I mean, and of course, the next day you end up with like 40 or 50
of these
things.
They're worth a fortune if you trip on them.
Yeah. You have 40 or 50 of these things around your neck. You go home, you put them on the bed on the bedpost, and then you wake up the next morning and say, what am I going to do with that? But in the moment, they are all important. I have seen otherwise responsible adults step on the fingers of 12-year-old kids to make sure they get these things.
Or chasing a live chicken.
I mean, honestly,
you can get a nice clean one for $3 or $4 at the store.
However,
or the lady who said, does the SPCA know y'all are chasing those chickens and sometimes they get killed? And I said, hey, lady, you eat chicken? That chicken in the supermarket did not commit suicide by jumping in the ice.
And the thing about that chicken, and it could be, you know, traditionally, it could also be rice or onions or
sausage.
Flour or sausage or anything else that you put in the gumbo because it was a communal meal. But the chicken was ideal because it wasn't just food. If it were just food, they would have given you one that was already plucked and ready to go. No. They don't just hand you over a live chicken either. They throw it in the air and it runs around, and you have to remember, these people are letting go their own chickens, right? So, and they got the others cooped up. They let their own chickens go. So the chicken has a home turf advantage. It knows where it's going. And here is something that I have observed over 30, 40 years of observing the Mardi Gras. It is this, a couple of points. One, it is not easy to catch a chicken.
Mm-mm.
In the open field, especially with a costume like this and a mask on, because it limits your vision, and especially with maybe four or five beers down. And One of the key elements to this is that chickens are this big, and they can run under barbed wire fences and houses way faster than we can, especially if you forget that you have a 3-foot-high hat firmly attached to your chin. So
the first year this child ran, he was maybe 6, and he caught a chicken. I said, how did you do that? Mammy, was easy. All those big boys were up here fighting for the chicken, and I looked down, and it was down there. So he just picked it up and brought it. He got a trophy.
There you go. So, and catching a chicken is a moment of triumph.
It's a manly thing.
You're a provider for the day.
Except that in Eunice, most of the time, it's the women that catch the chickens.
Ah. There you go.
No, that's gospel.
I was that joke about the cattle thing was a joke. I have a great respecter of women. Women, in fact, brought back the Mardi Gras in a couple of communities around here after it had started to fade. So we owe them a great debt. Plus, even if you didn't see them on the run back then, they were the ones who made all the costumes and all the masks, and were the
gumbo.
Ones who, and the gumbo. And there's, you know,
it's kind of hard today to say women are now allowed to run. Yeah, we're allowed to run. Take us out of the equation and see how far you'll get.
Miss you.
Your mother.
Basically, all those men would be running around naked and hungry.
Precisely. With stripped down, riding horseback, bareback.
I'm sorry I put that image in your head, but.
Yes.
All right, so.
Anyway, tomorrow, if you're in town, we'll be back around 3 o'clock, assuming the weather holds. Last year, we had about 700 little bitty Mardi Gras, and it looks like some big Mardi Gras that got shrunk and already got drunk. They can't walk. They're so little. But tomorrow, they're taking the children out. And that, my theory is, if you have any kind of tradition that you need to pass on, whether it's cultural, religious, society, I don't care what you do, pass your children, pass your tradition on to your children first before you worry about what the neighbors are doing. These children will never forget, and tonight I think if it hadn't been for our grandparents teaching us, my grandmother's here tonight in spirit in her dress. That's generation one. My mother-in-law's dress is here tonight. That's generation two. I would assume I'm generation three. That's generation four. These are generation five. And generation six is watching from the balcony. So it pays to tell them.
There you go. Thank you, Sharjah Emanuel and her family. And I think she's absolutely right. Pass on your traditions. Live local. Qu'est-ce que vous êtes va recommencer la faire avec?
Johnny can't ask.
Johnny, peut pas danser.